William looked quizzically at Jordan.
He'd make a dangerous enemy, sire. He has a great deal of influence in both political and economic circles.
I know. That's why he'll make a good advisor once I've got him settled in.
Is that what you have in mind for me, sire?
Why not? My years in exile have left me out of touch when it comes to the day-to-day running of the kingdom. I can use your experience and support. My father trusted you. He said you were an honest man. Every king needs at least one advisor he can rely on to tell him the truth, whether he wants to hear it or not. What do you say?
William bowed formally.
I would be honored, Your Majesty. There was a time I thought you unworthy to rule like your brothers. I was wrong. I give you my word that I shall serve you faithfully in all things for as long as you have need of me.
Thank you. Now, my friends, we have one last matter to discuss. The most important of all. Who killed my father?
The question hung unanswered on the silence. William finally stirred slightly and all eyes went to him.
As regent, I ordered a full investigation into King Malcolm's death. Under the steward's direction, the body was carefully examined by castle surgeons. There was no trace of poison in the body, nor any sign of foul play. There was no sign of struggle in his chambers. As far as we can tell, he died peacefully in his sleep. The suddenness of his death made it seem suspicious, but truth be told, he was not a young man, Your Majesty, and death comes to us all sooner or later.
Yes, that's what we were supposed to think. But his demise was too convenient for too many people for it to have been a natural event. So, I've been thinking about who stood to gain most by his death. Louis and Dominic spring to mind, but Malcolm's end was too subtle for it to have been either of them. My brothers were many things, but subtle was not one of them. Then there was you, Sir Regent. But everyone said you were honest, and you made no attempt to seize power for yourself when you could have. That leaves one other person who wanted the king dead, and had the means and opportunity. You, Gabrielle.
They all looked at Jordan as though he was mad. Gabrielle held her head high and stood a little closer to her husband.
Of all the people I've spoken to, you were our family's most outspoken critic. You hated Louis and Dominic, despised me as weak, and abhorred our father's preoccupation with war. Over and over again, I heard you say that our line was corrupt, that none of us were fit to hold the throne. It was an obsession with you, Gabby. You believe that Redheart needed an honest man as king if it was to survive. And who do we all know that everyone agrees is honest beyond question? Your husband, Count William. I don't think for a minute that he knew anything about this. If he'd have even suspected you meant to murder your father, he'd have stopped you. So you didn't tell him. You waited until you and Dad were alone together. And then you killed him. With him gone, William would become regent, and after you had time to work on him, eventually he would have taken the throne by popular acclaim. If the will hadn't gone missing, and with it the clue to the crown and seal, your plan might have worked. William would have been king, and you would have been queen. All for the best reasons, of course.
Tell him he's a liar, Gabrielle! Tell him!
How could I have killed Dad? There wasn't a mark on him or a trace of poison in his body.
You used your magic. Your air magic. You use it so rarely people tend to forget you have air magic by your blood. You used it to suck the breath out of his lungs. Just like I saw you use it against the unreal birds at court.
All right. You worked it out. What are you going to do about it?
William looked at her, and all the color went out of his face.
What are you saying, Gabrielle?
There's no need for you to be involved in this, dear. I killed Father. It was all my idea and no one else's. Redheart needed a strong king.
And you as queen.
Of course. But what are you going to do, Victor? If you put me on trial, it would be a major scandal. It could even lead to civil war, and you can't afford that. Not when your own grasp on the throne is still so precarious.
He was my friend. Malcolm was my friend. How could you do it, Gabrielle?
My father never had a friend in his life. He was pleasant enough to you because he needed your counsel. But if he'd ever found out that you and I were cousins, he'd have annulled our marriage without a second thought.
So that's why.
Well, Victor, what are you going to do?
I can't let you stand trial. You're right about that. And I can't banish you either. You wouldn't go without your husband, and I need him. I could have you killed, but William would never forgive me. So, you'll remain here in the castle in your quarters under unofficial house arrest. William will be your guard. For the rest of your life, you will never leave your quarters or talk with anyone other than your husband. Break my rules, and I will have no choice but to have you killed.
No need for threats, Victor. I accept your conditions. It's more than I expected. You might turn out to be a worthy king after all.
She turned away and headed unhurriedly for the doors. William looked at Jordan. He nodded, and William bowed quickly and went after his wife. They left the court together. Jordan slumped back in his throne again and stared around the empty hall. It seemed very large and echoing with everybody gone. He'd never really thought about what he was going to do once he got this far. He hadn't had a chance. Everything had happened so quickly. One day he was just another traveling player, wondering where his next meal was coming from, and then suddenly he was part of a conspiracy to impersonate a prince of the realm. And not very long after that, he was playing the part for real. He didn't regret killing Victor. The alternative would have put too many lives at risk. But that was as far as his thinking had gone. He had no training in politics or the art of ruling. His only experience of courts had been acting before them. And what he knew about enforcing the laws of the land could probably be engraved on his left thumbnail without undue difficulty. But he could learn. He had time and good advisors. He looked at Gawain and grinned at him.
How does it feel to be a king's champion, Gawain?
At my age, somewhat dangerous. Not that I don't appreciate the honor, but I would have settled for a less risky position. Like collecting taxes single-handed, or fighting a dragon with both my arms tied behind my back.
Moan, moan, moan. I've got to have someone in this court I can turn my back on without wincing, and you're it.
Jordan's smile suddenly faded, and he looked seriously at his champion.
Gawain, you once swore an oath to protect a certain man. I killed him. Where does that leave us?
The man who died was not worthy of my oath. I still serve and protect the true Prince Victor.
Am I supposed to understand any of that?
No, not particularly. Thank you, Sir Gawain. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like a private word or two with my steward.
Of course, sire. I'm so glad you agreed to return from exile, Your Majesty. You've been a new man since you returned to court.
Now, what was that all about?
Oh, nothing important. I need to talk to you, Kate.
Taggart smiled and stepped forward to sit on the arm of his throne.
You can always count on me, Victor. My life is yours.
Jordan grinned back at her and slipped an arm around her waist.
I was hoping you'd say something like that.
Blood and Honor is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 1993, Simon R. Green, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2010, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Terrence Aselford, David Coyne, Yasmin Toison, Andy Clements, Richard Rowan, Scott McCormick, Tim Getman, Michael John Casey, James Konacek, Michael Glenn, Eric Messner, Peter Stray, Colleen Delaney, Katie Foster, Nanette Savard, Elizabeth Jernigan, Christopher Graybill, Danny Gavigan, Corey James, Joe Brack, M.B. Van Dorn, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Terrence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Book adapted for graphic audio by Dan Sondak. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. The Forest Kingdom Saga theme was composed by Dan Sondak. Additional original music by Johann Detweiler and Dan Sondak. If you enjoyed Blood and Honor, be sure to look for R.A. Salvatore's Demon Wars Saga, available at roadstops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Keep listening for a preview of other thrilling titles in Graphic Audio.